Hey everybody, it's Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community. Thank you so much for tuning into the Outlet Community Podcast. We pray that you are able to experience the power of authentic relationships. If you're ever in the Atlanta area, we'd love to have you out. Just simply visit theoutlet.cc for more information of our service location and times. Well, sit back, relax, and enjoy this life-giving message. Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. Amen. And Paul is speaking here. He says, "Know the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. His plan, God's plan, that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. Because if they had understood it, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord." Verse 9. That is what the scripture means when they say, "No eye has seen, nor ear has heard." And when I studied that in the Septuagint, what it was saying is, no eye has seen a God like our God. Our ear, our natural ear, has not heard of a God like our God. And no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. The word says in 1 John 4, we love him because he first loves us. But verse 10 is very important. Even though we see, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor mind has imagined what God has prepared to them that love him, to those who love him. Verse 10 says, "But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets." So Lord, as I open my heart and share from the lessons in which you've helped to bring clarity to over the last year, I pray that most importantly, God, you're glorified. Pray that your name is lifted. I pray that at the end of the day, people can see you at work and be comforted and encouraged in their mind and in their hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, amen. The title of today's message is simply, "It All Makes Sense Now." How many of you have ever been in a season where it seemed like the most random things happened around you to where in your mind you are wondering, how in the world did this happen to me? Who's ever been there? And if you went over your 5, 10-year, 3-year, 1-year plan, there are things that happen that sometimes catch you by surprise. But I want to encourage you that whenever life happens and you don't know why it's happening, remain patient to see the lesson that God wants to show you as a result of events transpiring in your life. Now, I want us to go on record by saying that I'm not saying that God sends bad your way. In fact, let's go to Romans chapter 8. I'm not saying that God sends evil. God does not send calamity. God doesn't send destruction to teach us a lesson. But in Romans chapter 8, starting verse 26, it says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness." What is our weakness? Our weakness as humans is our desire to take matters into our own hands. When you lack patience, you will begin to come up with your own plan and your own course of action to bring to pass the things that you've seen in your heart and in your times of prayer. That is a weakness that we all must protect ourselves against. Because if we're not patient, we have finite wisdom, which means that there's limitations. But God has given us his Holy Spirit who helps us in our weakness. So in the times we feel like saying, you know what, God, you're taking too long. God, maybe I need to help you out. God, I have these list of options that I want to give to you to let you know when you're to operate in my life. Whenever you get that temptation to begin to move faster than what the Spirit is leading you to move, rely on Holy Spirit to give you peace in the in-between seasons of your life. We have to be mindful that we don't begin going ahead of where the peace of God is leading us, because you're going to spend more time cleaning up the mess you thought you were doing to help God out. Man has always had this desire. Back in the book of Genesis, we can look at Adam and Eve, the story of creation. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, Adam said, instead of allowing God to come and fix the mess up that they were in, Adam said, I want to go ahead and create fig leaves around myself and Eve. That was his attempt to cover up his mess. We then can move on later on in just Genesis. We can go Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. We can go to every single book to show you how man tries to help God out. Abraham, Sarah, they heard what the Lord said, but because what the Lord promised wasn't in their time, don't y'all get some frustrated sometime when the Lord don't operate on your watch? He don't operate on your calendar. And they were upset because years had gone by and they still hadn't seen what the Lord said concerning them. In essence, questioning the truthful nature of God. None of us in here would say, God, you're a liar. But when we decide to take matters into our own hand, our actions are saying, God, I don't think you tell the truth as much as you like to say you do. So Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness that believes we need to help God. But as we continue to read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, it says, for example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words, which is important as to why we need to be a community of prayer. Verse 27, and the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Verse 28, and we know that God causes everything. Someone say everything. Come on, this is really huge here. God causes everything to work together for good, for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. If you are able to take notes, please highlight. Please note that final part of that scripture, that God causes everything to work together for the good. Come on, now that's good news for us, because when situations happen, they might not be good. But God is able to take the unfortunate circumstances. He's able to take the setbacks. He's able to take the frustrations. He's able to take the disappointments. He's able to take the letdowns. And he's able to use something from that to shape you for something greater than you were before. But it's important to know that he's doing that because you are called according to his purpose, not your purpose. So the question has to be, God, what is the bigger picture? And am I willing to let go what I think for what God has already planned for my life? The majority of the pain in Christian living is calming your pride down long enough to say that you don't know everything about every situation. Some of us think that the situations that happened to us, that was the pain. And I was talking with Joe Vivian because I needed help to get through this sermon. I said, Joe, you know, these are the things that happened. She said, the things that happened to you didn't cause the pain. It's how you thought about the things that happened to you that caused the pain. So see, whenever things happen to you, you have to first change how you think about what's happening to you. And your mind has to be shaped with an understanding that God is going to take everything in my life, and this too is going to work out for my good. Because there is a greater plan beyond what your eyes can see at work in your life. Everybody, I want you all to say this with me. There is a greater plan than what I can naturally see at work in my life. I need you all to have some faith with that. Say, there is a greater plan than what I can naturally see at work in my life. So every test, every trial, every frustration is right now working in you the good that God wants to do through you, because there is a greater plan for you that is designed to reach others bigger than you. So understanding that it all makes sense now, the first thing you have to understand is that it's not about you. Our first mindset is to make sure that we're good. Our first mindset is to make sure that we have what we need. And that's that. There's nothing wrong with that. But we can't stay there. See, in times where you don't have the financial resources to help, you've got enough to pray for somebody. See, it wasn't until Job forgot about what he was dealing with and began to look at how can I help someone else that he was able to take his mind off of trying to help God out and allow God's plan to be accomplished in his life. But I want to talk about something here that I believe that we need to settle once and for all. Are we committed to Christ, or are we committed to comfort? Are we committed to Christ, or are we committed to comfort? And let's just be honest, comfort feels good. But which one are we committed to? Which one are we willing to sacrifice for? Here's the important thing to note in that. 1 Corinthians 2 and 5. Here's the greater good when it comes to committed to Christ or committed to comfort. This is so you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Being committed to comfort is about you trusting in what you know. Being committed to Christ is a life completely dependent on God. If there's something that I can share with you all today, that in the bedrock of your life, I pray that you have more loyalty to the plan of God than you do for any individual. That if it does not line up with what his purpose is for my life, then I am not to alter my purpose for my life. And that's a great boundary for any job. That's a great boundary for any career. That the moment you go against what God said, that's where we hit pause. Let's dive into this a little further. I want to really bring this point home to you today. Because when you're committed to Christ, this speaks about a journey or making progress. But when you're committed to comfort, it's about the destination of where I'm at. Naturally, we say, when I get to this point, .. If I could just make this amount of money. If I could just get this job, Let's bring it home to how we live personally. You know, I'm a pretty good person. I don't do this no more. I don't do that no more. I don't do this no more. I'm good. I'm comfortable. Or, and please forgive me to those who think this way, but I just feel led to say this. Sometimes we reach certain ages where we say, I'm not going to learn nothing else. I done learned all I know. I done learned all I need to know. That's being committed to comfort. Because how many know it's uncomfortable to learn new things after you've been doing things 30, 40 years? When you have to have a whole new belief system, especially when it comes to grace versus works of the law. So you thought that it was because of your tithing that God's been good to you all these years. You thought it was because you prayed that God's been good to you all these years. You thought it was because you were so holy that God has been good to you all these years. No, in spite of your foolish efforts, God has been good to you. And so when you let go of all of your claims to brag, it's uncomfortable because you realize how much you need God. As long as you compare yourself and look at somebody else, you'll say, I'm fine because at least I'm not like them. But when we're committed to following Christ, Christ begins to show us another level of how well we can be. I believe that personally I have a great, I really do have a great marriage. I believe that. But how many know Holy Spirit talks to you about how you can improve on that marriage? If I can just be honest, I'm going to tell her myself. This is the first time I'm doing this and she's not here. I'm going to tell her myself. So I'm irritable quick. Over every, it took Holy Spirit to show me this. I'm irritable over everything. Babe, can you? Like when you good and under the covers. Thank you, thank you, thank you, man. I feel safe. I could, you know what? I could talk. She not here. So I caught myself because you know Holy Spirit will deal with you gradually. He'll say, all right. And so all of a sudden, after my wife, the woman that I pledged to the whole world that I would love and protect and serve as long as we both shall live. You know that whole stuff back when we were in love and Luther Vandross was singing to her while she was coming down the aisle, all that nice stuff. And he said, all right now, are you going to huff and puff over everything she asks you to do? And so I realized, as a husband, I got to practice on my big bad wolf syndrome, where I'm huffing and I'm puffing. I need to stop blowing the house down. I need to work on not being so irritable and not allowing every request that my wife has to annoy me. Committed to Christ, not comfort. I'm not cheating on her. I'm not cussing at her. But my attitude is poor, so that's just as bad. See, we all have an area that we can grow in. And so, if you deal with cussing, I can help you. But if you're a person who's patient and serves, you can help me. And fellas, we can help each other stay happily married together. And the fellas said, amen. Thank you. Because I'm flat out tired of watching marriages exist. Not at the outlet. We're committed to being like Christ. So we're gonna have the uncomfortable conversations to find out how can we be better to our spouses? How can we set an example in this community for the young men and young women that are coming up, for the people who are desiring to be married? How can we be men who will set a humble standard about, hey, I understand you see what you see, but it's by the grace of God that I am where I am today. That's the type of world that we have to live in order to stay committed to Christ. If only thing we do is when we get around each other is talk about what we did and did not do. Only thing we do is talk about, look what I did for my wife, ha, ha, ha. Then we're growing in comfort, but we're not growing to be like Christ. Amen. So when we understand that this is a process, this is a journey, a commitment to comfort will have you accept toxic environments as normal. Healthy environments empower you to reach your created purpose. Toxic environments will have you doubting your purpose. And when I'm trying to not rock the boat, when I'm trying just to do enough just to get by, just to get along, I'll end up settling in complacency, and complacency long enough becomes toxic. Because if there's not anything promoting you to trust God, then you're not operating in the muscle that's called faith. And when you don't operate in the muscle that's called faith, you begin to develop your self-righteous arm and trying to figure out what you can do in your own strength. But I realized something, because there was a season in my life where I was committed to being comfortable. I realized that I had to go inward. And my wife, I thank God for her, because she had me to ask a question to myself that I had to answer. She said, Vince, when you look back over your life, especially the last season that you got of, what was your role in that? I said, my role? Shoot. Hold on, time out. She said, in every situation, two people are in there. What is your role? Own your role. What was my role? I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be liked. I wanted to be recognized for the things that I was doing well. But when God calls you to grow, that means you're going to leave old acceptance patterns behind. But most people are not afraid to let go of people pleasing for the sake of God pleasing. It's hard to stand alone, because it really it requires you to get everything that you need at the core of who you are from the Lord and no one and nothing else. And I can remember thinking that I had been in ministry long enough, and so there were things that I had deserved because of my right living and because I was accomplishing at a very high rate. I was unwilling to pay attention to the voice within that kept saying that change is coming. I ignored that. And I ignored times when I began to truly be myself. And I would face unjustified levels of persecution for being myself. But because I didn't want to give up being comfortable, I made excuses as to why I needed to change myself to stay toxic. And I remember every year that I stayed comfortable and not thinking about the plan of God, a part of who I really was died. I wasn't as bold as I once was. I wasn't fully engaged in my walk with the Lord as I once was, because I realized that in order to survive in toxic environments, I had to turn off myself and be a carbon copy like everybody else, because if you speak up, then you're in jeopardy of losing your employment, and I depended on my employer for my resources. And I found myself in a very dark place internally. I found myself refusing to dream again. I found myself forgetting about what God had called me to do so that I could fit in with what he now is calling the overall organization to do. I was willing to be paid enough to forget my dream.